our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes...
This is Glenn Hauser. On the air since 1987, you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio about radio, every Sunday morning on CKUT, 90.3 FM in Montreal, and live streaming around the globe at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Gilles, and we are here to give you 30 minutes of news and information of things going on in the world of radio. We thank you for tuning in to our show. We have an email address if you'd like to reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have 639 members. We invite you to look it up on Facebook and join the group. And if you want to catch our show once again, take notes or listen to a piece back over again, or check some of the older shows, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is International Radio Report. So that's youtube.com/International Radio Report. You can subscribe along with the 480 subscribers that we currently have. People really seem to enjoy it. We see the numbers go up almost every week of people using the YouTube channel for the show. I guess it's more convenient for people, you know, if they're not up at early on Sunday mornings, if they had a late Saturday night, they may not want to be there at 10:30 Eastern time in Sunday morning. So the YouTube channel usually has the show, 30 minutes, an hour or so after the show airs.
About 30 minutes. And yeah. And there's some people that seem to also enjoy the fact that, you know, instead of necessarily going to the CKUT website to stream, they kind of prefer doing the YouTube stuff to actually listen to our show.
Yeah, it's convenient to be able to stop and start, you know, maybe phone rings or something during the show while you're listening live. And, you know, you can't, at least if you're on the YouTube, just stop and start whenever you need it. So, it's very convenient for people, so we're happy that a lot of people are getting a lot of good use out of that. So we have a lot of material for you to get you ready for some interesting things that are coming up in the world of radio. So I like when we have stuff like this because it sort of puts challenges out to our listeners to get them out there and turning on the radio and seeing what they can find when these special activities are going on. So you have the news of, I guess, really an exciting event that happens every year when Halloween rolls around.
Yep, Halloween weekend. And, you know, you can almost say it's Halloween week because some of the pirates and some of the stations that get on the air often get on the air many days before actually Halloween itself. So we can say that starting from tonight and all week until Halloween weekend and Halloween next Sunday is going to be an interesting time to listen for pirate radio activity.
Now, if we have any brand new listeners, we should maybe explain to them that we're not talking about guys with an eye patch on a ship somewhere in the water. Well,
no.
They could be.
They could be. Yes, they could be.
But we should really explain for newcomers just what we're talking about with a pirate radio station.
So there's a subset of people that think the airwaves should not be government-controlled and that think the frequency ranges should be open to everybody. And so what they do is they decided that maybe we should broadcast our own radio station on the air, but they don't have a license. So it's technically illegal. It's not illegal to listen to them, but it's illegal to actually operate one. You know, there's a lot of these pirates that broadcast regularly. We hear them every week. And actually, since the pandemic, we hear more pirates than ever. Even though the activity has gone down a little bit, there's still a lot of pirates out there. And so these are usually people in their homes or in any way. They could be, you know, transmitting from a car, from a truck somewhere, because they don't want to be caught. And so they will broadcast their own show from time to time. There's no regular schedule of anything because it's illegal. So they will pop up here and there. But Halloween is always the time when a lot of them want to be heard. And they'll often have special programming that goes with Halloween. So if you hear, you know, wolves howling and ghosts and all sorts of scary sounds on the shortwave bands, well, there could be a pirate there. Some are creative and will have shows that have specific themes. One of them, Wolverine, is often there on Halloween, and he often has a theme. So you got to listen to each song, for example, and think about what is the theme for tonight. And they broadcast on shortwave in some very specific frequency ranges. Although they are, you know, pirates that can operate at any time, they're kind of random, there's still kind of a order. There's still kind of a way that they operate that is on kind of predictable in some way. And one of the things is the frequency ranges where they broadcast, where you should actually any night of the year anyways tune around just to see if anything's there. One of them is 6850 to 7000 kilohertz. One of them is, I would say about, you know, from 5,000 to 5,200 kilohertz and 4,000 to 4,200 kilohertz. There's even been some in the bottom part of the 3 megahertz range. As we are getting here in North America, particularly in very long nights, a lot of them might actually be using lower frequencies. Some of them are in AM mode, which can be heard on any radio. A lot of them use a single sideband, so that is a challenge sometimes. You need to, of course, have a single sideband receiver, which is most of the time an upper sideband for most of the pirates. And they are mostly late afternoon, evening, so that's the time to listen to them. And, of course, as we get to Halloween, you'll hear some on the bands, that's for sure. Now, one of the things is they're low-powered. They are more difficult to hear than, say, international broadcasters. But there's a way to actually know what's on. And if you actually hear one, a way to maybe identify it. And it's a website called hfunderground.com. hfunderground.com is definitely the place to go. It has a board for North American pirates. So you'll see shortwave pirates. The first item says shortwave pirates. This is the logins for North America. When you click there, you'll see a list of stations that have been identified by listeners that are on the website. And each entry in there, you can click on, and you'll see all the people that have acknowledged and log that they hear them, and you can see the location of everybody. So if you see, for example, a concentration of people in the northeast of North America, and you live in you know, in New York, maybe you could try it, because that's a possibility that you'll hear it. People in your vicinity are hearing it, and you'll have often the name of the station that was logged, and lots of information. You can even register to that website and post your own loggings if you hear pirates. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very unique activity on shortwave. It's a specific type of our hobby that is kind of fun. And you never know what will be on the air.
I know in in the past years, I don't know if they've been active the last few Halloweens, but I remember going back quite a few years, two stations I used to look for every Halloween was one called Radio Halloween.
Yep.
And the other was called WBST, The Beast. And of course, like you were saying, all the weird sounds and the, you know, the dogs howl and the wolves howling and the chains rattling and creaky doors and ghost sounds and all of that. But those two stations always had like a lot of real content. You know, they would produce little skits and plays and what have you. It wasn't just, you know, standard music sort of thing. Guaranteed you're going to hear Monster Mash four or five times at least
on Halloween
night, you know, and some of those other songs that sort of tie into to Halloween theme. But it's a lot of fun. Start checking some of the stations. I'm sure we were looking at the logs on HF Underground this evening, and there's been a lot of stations active and getting geared up for Halloween coming up. So let us know what you're hearing as well. As Jill said, open up an account. You can have a profile file on HF Underground. Some of the stations will even QSL you.
Yes.
Based on your report that you posted on HF Underground. So that's something to try out for as well. And one other thing we forgot to mention, some of these pirates are starting to use other modes.
Yeah.
And you get some interesting little additions to their transmissions.
Yep, you can get slow scan television pictures. Actually, some use that as a QSL outlet. So because they don't really want to send anything to anybody, they'll send a picture in slow scan TV, which can be decoded with software like MMSSTV on Windows. You have Robot 36 if you're on Android. There's Black Cat Systems has an SSTV decoder app for iPads and iPhones. Keep that ready because they will decode the pictures. As long as it's quiet, you don't even have to hook it up to the radio. Just listening to the sound, the microphone of the device will hear the audio of the slow scan TV. And so slow scan TV is a very popular thing. And some stations actually sent multiple pictures of all sorts during the broadcasts.
All right. So good luck with that.
Yep.
We'll maybe talk about it next week and see how people did, and maybe some really new stations popping up possibly. You never know. We're moving on to another interesting event going on, and it's looking for audience participation, I guess we can call it. And this is something that I'm familiar with, the term of citizen science. We use citizen science in the bird watching world of having amateur bird watchers provide information to biologists and ornithologists for their research. This is a similar activity on the radio side of things. So the headline is Radio Amateurs Invited to Participate in the Antarctic Eclipse Festival in December. This comes to us from the American Radio Relay League and the Southgate Amateur Radio News. The HAMSI Antarctic Eclipse Festival in December is seeking amateur radio participation. As the shadow of the moon passes across Antarctica on December the 4th, it will generate traveling ionospheric disturbances that will, in turn, affect radio propagation. The unusual geometry of this year's eclipses will give researchers an opportunity to investigate complicated ionospheric dynamics over the poles as the long daytime of polar summer is briefly interrupted by the eclipse. During this and other HAMSI eclipse festivals, hams and citizen scientists are asked to collect Doppler shift data from time standard stations such as WWV. All that's needed is an HF radio connected to a computer. A GPS-disciplined oscillator is helpful for collecting data, but is not required. Data collection will run from December 1 through December 10, and the results will be made available for scientific analysis. All amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners are invited to join in, even those located far from the path of totality. In 2020, more than 100 individuals from 45 countries took part in eclipse festivals. The instructions are available in multiple languages. HAMSAI is an initiative of ham radio operators and geospace scientists dedicated to advancing scientific research and understanding through amateur radio activities. Eclipse festivals are pilot campaigns for the Personal Space Weather Station, PSWS, HAMSAI's flagship project. The PSWS team seeks to develop a global network of citizen science stations. Participants monitor the geospace environment to deepen scientific understanding and enhance the radio art. So for more information on the Antarctic Eclipse Festival and how to participate, you can simply go to HAMSCI, that's HAMSCI.org, and get all the details there. So that sounds like a fun event.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, solar eclipses actually do alter propagation quite a lot. Every time there's one, I think a lot of AMs and listeners actually tune in to see how it shifts propagation, what changes, you know, stations you can hear. Sometimes some of them will listen to the AM band, for example, because since a lot of stations use daytime power, while the eclipse is happening in an area, if you're in the eclipse, of course, you might hear stations from far away on the AM band you'll never hear, because at nighttime, you know, they shift into a low power that makes them impossible to listen to. And even on shortwave, the shifting propagation of different areas while you're listening and seeing how this changes as the shadow of the moon on the Earth actually shifts everything in propagation. This is part of a fun event to go to and to try also. The future of FM radio is to be secured for the rest of the decade after a government review recommended that analog services are protected until at least 2030. Broadcasters will be required to keep AM and FM services on the airwaves under the proposals, which are aimed at ensuring elderly radio listeners and those in remote areas are not forced to switch to digital-only radios. The UK had been due to begin winding down analog radio licenses from 2022. But last year, Ofcom gave permission for broadcasters to continue operating for up to 10 years. The government is now expected to officially push back the digital switchover following the study by the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. Officials are seeking to prevent radio broadcasting from going extinct in Britain as listeners switch to digital streaming services and smart speakers. Julia Lopez, the media minister, said, "We will not have a digital switchover until at least 2030 and will consider new rules to keep our thriving radio sector at the heart of the UK's media landscape." While modern radios have increasingly switched to digital audio services, the report said FM radio should be protected until at least 2030. It added that just 3% of listening is now done over AM radio, making a future switch-off increasingly likely. The report added the new radios will be required to include digital settings by 2023. It also found that smart speakers were increasingly being used to consume radio and called for new legal protections to force smart speaker makers to carry broadcasts from stations such as the BBC. More than 50% of UK households own a smart speaker, even though they only arrived in the UK 5 years ago, according to data from the industry regulator Ofcom. Almost two-thirds of the audio that Britons consume through their smart speakers is live radio, the review found. Smart speakers now outsell digital radios by 5-1. So this is interesting because smart speakers are not like radios. Unless you tell them to play a radio station, they will not. That is probably already one of the challenges that these stations and broadcasters will face. I mean, I rarely listen to a stream of a radio station on my device here. I mostly listen to all sorts of other streams or podcasts. And I think it's not a bad idea to go slowly and switch for digital radio. I mean, we say it all the time. We have radios that already do the job. And there are people out there, and they talk about the elderly here. There are people out there that are kind of all lost in all of that technology and don't really know what it's all about. I think it's a good move to go slowly, 2030 gives time, and maybe they'll even, you know, evaluate where we are in the next few years and see if everything is worth it. The number that's kind of sad here is to see that 3% of listening over AM radio shows why all the AM radio stations and even long wave are dying or switching off. It's less and less people, probably part of it due to a lot of noise that we get on that band for sure. But, you know, things are changing slowly and we'll see how everything goes in the future.
It's encouraging here that the UK has looked at, I believe, probably what other countries have done. You know, we've talked about Norway and Switzerland and other countries where they're pushing, you know, really hard to get rid of analog and go completely digital, but they found some problems. So I think the UK has probably looked at those examples and said, let's take it slowly here and just kind of monitor how the progression goes. So if any of our listeners are over there in the UK, don't throw out your analog radios.
Nope.
You've got plenty of life left in them, according to this new regulation from the UK.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun is rather quiet, although there was a far side coronal mass injection. So there's some activity, but there's some activity on the other side of the sun. On the one facing the Earth, there's one sunspot group right now. Second one starting to show up and appear on the surface. But it's rather quiet in general this week. And solar flux around 82. No coronal holes, you know, with any solar wind speed doing anything special. But it wasn't the same 20 years ago. 20 years ago in October of 2001. So Paolo Bardelli will never forget October 21st, 2001. He says, "The sky over my hometown in Italy suddenly filled with intense red auroras." He recalls, "This happened exactly 20 years ago. A trip down memory lane in 2001, solar cycle 23 was peaking and solar activity was very high. Strong flares were a daily occurrence. On October 19th, giant sunspot AR9661 erupted twice in quick succession, producing almost identical X1.6 class solar flares. X class are the strongest flares you can have. The double blast hurled two bright CMEs towards the Earth. This first CME took only 2 days to reach the Earth. It was fast and potent. The storm cloud's arrival on October 21st, 2001 ignited a severe geomagnetic storm, K8. So the scale is from 1 to 9. K8 is a pretty strong geomagnetic storm. Solar wind speeds and the CME's wake topped 700 kilometers per second, keeping the storm going on for more than 15 hours. In Troutman, North Carolina, Ronnie Sherrill witnessed the CME's impact. Auroras were visible in twilight even before the evening sky faded to black, says Cheryl. By 10:30 p.m., the sky had exploded into bright red and yellowish beams, and that was an awesome display, says Cheryl. Less than a day later, the second CME arrived, and it happened all over again. Another 15 hours of strong to severe storming ensued. Red auroras were sighted in Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Australia, Japan, and in the United States as far south as latitude 35 north. Remarkably, these were no widespread power outage, no satellite disruptions. The internet functioned normally throughout. It was mainly a aurora show. So some observers are ready for more. We are hoping for something similar for cycle 25, as the sun has recently had a good increase in its activity. So this is you know, a reminder that we might be heading into active time as solar cycle 25 is getting stronger and stronger. But I do remember, that time when I was actually coming back home and I saw some of those auroras. In a big city like Montreal, when you see aurora borealis, I can tell you they have to be really bright. So anyways, nothing like that happening this week. We're going to be in quiet conditions. And the best way to know how conditions are is to turn on that radio.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
We started the show talking about upcoming pirate activity for Halloween. And our next story gets you ready for some relays of some Euro pirates. This is the continuation of a series of broadcasts that Texas Radio Shortwave is doing via WRMI. And this comes from Captain Rick of Texas Radio Shortwave. He's supplying us with complete information on the remaining series of Europirates being relayed on WRMI. He says, "We'll appreciate whatever notice you can give your readers, listeners, and viewers about this opportunity to hear these various pirate stations." So coming up, October 30th and 31st, there'll be a broadcast of Cupid Radio from the Netherlands. November 6th and 7th will be a Radio Pamela from the Netherlands. November 13th and 14th, Radio Jingle Bells from Germany. The 20th and 21st of November will be Free Radio Service Holland from the Netherlands. And November 27th and 28th, The Vault from somewhere in Europe. Mysterious station. These one-hour broadcasts will begin at 0:00 UTC on 5950 kilohertz. In November, with the change back to standard time, the broadcast will move 1 hour later to 0:100 UTC. So we'll post all of these up for you, and that'll give you some interesting listening of Europirates throughout the month of November.
These are fun to listen to. I've been following pretty much all of them every Saturday evening here in Montreal and having a lot of fun. The signal has been pretty good, so take a listen. It's kind of interesting. So we have some upcoming ham radio contests, actually one, but it's a really big one.
Yeah, this is probably one of the major contests of the year. It is the CQ Worldwide DX Contest Single Sideband. 0:00 October 30th to 23:59 UTC October 31st. So a full 48-hour long contest sponsored by CQ Magazine. The objective for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many CQ zones and countries as possible. And for shortwave listeners, of course, you may just want to tune in and see how many different ones you can log yourself on the bands. It will be on six bands only, 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz. So all the major HF bands. The mode, SSB or phone communications only. So you'll hear the voices from all over the world communicating with each other. Big, big pileups. To get the information, it's cqww.com is the website for the CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest. This one is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Our CIDX club used to run a parallel listeners contest on the ham bands. We haven't done that for a long time. We should maybe reactivate that next time round. But you'll hear countries that you don't hear very often. You'll hear special call signs, special prefixes. You're going to need a list with you because some of them are going to be hard to figure out what they are. But a lot of stations with a lot of big power, lots of pileups, lots of activity on all of the bands running straight through for the 48 hours.
So we are out of time.
Yep, we've given you lots of interesting things to take a shot at on your radios. So get those radios out, tune around, see what you can hear. Let us know what you're hearing. Any of this information will be available. You can listen to the re-listen to the show on our YouTube channel, and we'll put a lot of the information up on our Facebook group, which is International Radio Report. And that's what you've been listening to for the last 30 minutes. Here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody, and a good Halloween coming up.
Bye-bye.
Le virus de la COVID-19 et ses variants se propagent toujours au Québec. En cas de...